Aren't you glad for the blood?
Amen.
Would you take your Bibles, please? And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 4 one more time. We spoke about this some weeks ago and spent, I believe, 2 weeks on the lies of Satan. Matthew chapter 4. For those who ordered CDs from the Bible conference, those are ready to be picked up at the welcome desk. They didn't quite make it into the bulletins. They weren't sure. Didn't want to promise something they couldn't deliver. But those, if you ordered CDs from the Bible conference last week, the Bible conference, first part of the March, it was a big group. All those, this whole stack of those, if you ordered the whole set from the beginning of March there, those are ready and you can be picked up at the welcome desk. All right. Matthew chapter 4, and this, of course, is the temptation of Christ. And he was tempted all matters such as we are, yet without sin. And yet, the same lies that old Satan tried to pull on Jesus are really the same lies that he tries to pull on us. Now, Jesus lived as a spirit-filled man. He was all God. He's fully God. He's fully man. But he set aside some of his rights, if you will, as God, to live on this earth, to go through what we go through, and yet live without sin. So in our passage here in chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." When it says, "Then was Jesus," of course, reminder of that from the previous chapter, the last two verses, Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit descended upon him, came upon him in the form of a dove, and God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So God is pleased with his Son, of course. Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's directed, of course, by the Holy Spirit. And God's happy with him, so everything should be fine, right? No. The first thing that happens is God sends him into the wilderness. Verse 1, it says, "And Jesus was led up of the Spirit." God sent him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Let me remind you, Abraham was called of God to be a great man of many nations. First thing when he came out of the Ur of the Chaldees was he went into the wilderness. First thing that happened in the wilderness was a famine. Moses was called to deliver the people of Israel. The first thing God had to do was take him to the backside of the mountain into the wilderness for 40 years to be prepared to do the work that God had called him to do. When he went back to Israel and actually delivered Israel out of Egypt with a high hand, the first thing they go into is the wilderness. This is nothing new. And so Jesus, the same thing. And when you get saved, when God calls you and his life is on you, one of the first things going to happen in your life is God's going to take you through a time to help you settle the question, am I trusting God or am I trusting me? You see, if everything's fine and dandy, then it really doesn't take much to trust. But God says he's got what's right, but it doesn't look right. But he's right, but it doesn't look right. But do you believe he's right? Well, yeah, I believe he's right. Well, then are you going to run when it doesn't look right? No. You see, if your faith only goes as far as your sight, it's not faith. Let me say that again. If your faith will only take you as far as your sight can see, then it's not faith. It's still sight. So verse 2, it says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." So his body was yearning. So his physical, natural inclinations were in full force. We all have those. Natural desire, not a bad desire. It's not wrong to be hungry. In about 45 minutes, it's going to hit me. My clock goes off. It's not wrong to be hungry. After 40 days, you're really hungry. That's not wrong. God knows you need that. He put that in to make sure you eat. But when the flesh takes over the spiritual, then we got a problem. Number three. And when the tempter, Satan, came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, "He shall give us his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now, of course, we are made a child of God by a spirit of adoption. Go back to and read it in Ephesians. But the fact is, one of the first things that Satan wants to do after you accept Christ is, "Are you telling me this really worked? Now you're a child of God. Is that right?" Well, la-dee-da. Aren't you something? Well, how's it working for you? Well, I'm in the wilderness right now. Yeah. Well, that's what your father does with you. Well, I have a little bit of trouble here. Oh, well, I thought if you were God's child, everything would be just fine and dandy. If you're God's child. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt." I'm sorry, verse 6. And he saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus saith unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, "All these things shall I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship thee." Oh, yeah, your old father's he's not taking real good care of you, is he? You say he'll provide all your needs, and here you are hungry, and you could turn these stones into bread, but you don't want to do that, because God said no. And you think you're really special in his eyes, but if you jumped off of this, you're saying you don't think he'd catch you? Well, I'll tell you what, you bow down and worship me. You do what I ask you to do, and I'll give you everything. And the Brooklyn Bridge, and Oceanside property in Wyoming. Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You see, if he's really God, then who else would you serve? If he's really God, if he's the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord Jehovah, the self-existing one, the God of all creation, the one who is life, then who else would you serve? Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray, and we'll talk about how to combat the lies of Satan, how to fight them, how to combat the lies of Satan. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths. We thank you for the power that's in the word. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to these folks. I want to labor this. But Lord, I do want us to make sure we've got this settled in our heart. Because this, you came after Abraham. I'm sorry, soul Satan came after Abraham, and Satan came after Moses, and you allowed us to be put in the wilderness, and Jesus was in the wilderness, and Satan came after him. And why do we feel like we're going to be any different? Lord, there's times when we feel like we're in the wilderness, and old Satan starts to put questions in our mind. If God is true, if this is right, if you're the Son of God, and Lord, help us to keep our eyes and focus on you, the author and finisher of our faith. So Lord, I pray to be with us. I ask for your Holy Spirit to fill, to have his way in our service, and may you have your way with me in Christ's name. Amen. If Satan cannot stop us from getting saved, if we go ahead and get saved anyway, even with all his confrontation, he will at least do all he can to stop us from being successful as a Christian. The just are to live by faith, and Satan loves to attack and weaken our faith so we can't live by it. And if Satan can get us to waver in our faith, he puts us into a position to receive nothing from God. We talked about it in James 1. It says, "If we let him ask in faith, but let him not wavering. For the man that wavereth will receive nothing." In fact, he says he is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. I can't tell you how many Christians I have come across in my life who will say, well, I believe. What they really mean is, I want to believe. I believe that I believe. But when it actually comes down to it, and there's a confrontation, there's a trying of that faith, that they actually begin to waver. And in fact, to tell you the truth, they kind of get unstable. I mean, literally. They well, I'm a Christian, but I don't know what to do. And literally, they can become almost beside themselves. Because they want to believe in God, but they don't want to surrender God to believe. There are some questions that we asked a few weeks ago. Well, I'm sorry, some lies that Satan questions us. Let me hit those real quick. Number one, are you really God's child? He asks us, are you really God's child? Satan wants to cast doubt in your mind as to whether you are really a child of God or not. I remember years ago, and I was saved when I was 11 years old. But I heard the gospel in Sunday school. Didn't hear it too much from the pulpit. But down in Sunday school, we had some ladies who believed the gospel. They were saved, and they had their flannel boards and everything else. And I always talk about this blue-haired lady. Ladies used to put this blue dye on their white hair, and they get too much on it, and it almost turned blue. Anyway, sweetest lady, though. And she would tell her story with the flannel graph, and I don't care where she was in the Bible, she'd always come around, a little tear getting in her eye. She'd get choked up, and she'd tell, now, boys and girls, she didn't talk much louder than this. Now, boys and girls, you can know for sure if you died, you go to heaven. And then she'd give us the gospel. And I heard that week after week after week. Now, they never really gave an invitation because that's not what our church did. And so no one really offered the opportunity for me to sit down with somebody and have them go through it in the Bible with me. I knew, but somehow you were just supposed to kind of put it all together. And I thought, I believed, and I think I did. I think I was saved very, very young. I put my trust, I knew I was a sinner. I knew what I did. I knew when Mom said, don't take a cookie, and I did. I've taken a lot of cookies over the years. And I knew I was a sinner. And it didn't matter to me, it was a big sin or a little sin. God said, if you break the law at one point, you've broken the whole law. I knew that in my heart. I was honest with myself. I wasn't old enough to try to talk myself out of it. You know how adults are. And I knew I was a sinner, and yet I didn't know for sure if I had it squared away, and I'd lie in bed, and sometimes I'd cry. I said, Lord, I hope I said it right. You know, I'd pray a prayer, and I said, well, did I say the right words? Did I say it in the right order? You know, or did I say this as if God didn't know what I meant? For with the heart man believes on the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God knew my heart. He knew I knew I was a sinner. He knew I believed that Jesus died and paid for all my sins on the cross. And he knew that I was trusting him. I knew I had no other hope but him. He knew that. And God, I'm not going to get into it this morning because I got too much to do, but God brought me to a point where I had to know what I was trusting. He knew what I was trusting, but he put me in a position so that I realized that I knew what I was trusting. So it was settled. You know, listen, my life changed an 11-year-old boy right there. Because you put a question mark on your salvation, you're going to be unstable in all your ways. You're going to wonder whether God hears me or not. Get that settled. If you don't have that settled, you ought to settle before you leave the day. We have folks around who'll be really, at the end of the service, we have folks who'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure without a shadow of a doubt. God, you got God's word in black and white. He'll tell you how to get saved, make sure you've got it squared away. So old Satan says, though, are you really God's child? I was God's child, but he was putting a question mark in my mind and making me unuseful. Number two, does God really care about your needs? Well, sure he cares about your needs. God would, listen, he even sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Number three, Christians never have a problem or hurts or disappointments or hard times or injuries. Satan tries to tell you that. Why does he try to convince you that? Because when you do have hard times and injuries and disappointments, you think, well, I must not be saved. And so you're back to square one. Well, am I saved? I'm not saved. So yeah, I don't know whether to pray to him. Can I pray with faith? I don't know. I hope you're here up through here. Well, then you're back to unstable in all your ways and unfruitful, unuseful. Number four, He says, as a child of God, I'm entitled to have whatever my heart desires. And if I'm not getting what my heart desires, then God is holding out on me. And how can I trust a God like that? And there again, it can back up all the way to fact. Well, I thought when I got saved, I'm supposed to be happy. Sure. Joy, love, joy, peace, as you surrender to Him. Now, maybe you're not surrendering to Him. But by the way, you don't have to have things that have love, joy, peace. I know a lot of folks who've gone on missions trips, and they've gone into places where there's churches established who love the Lord, who are just glad to have four walls around them, even though they don't have a roof to have church in. And they're happy, and they're rejoicing. You don't have to have things to have joy. Because you're saying your joy is locked up in things. But things come and go. Satan tries to lie to us. Let me give you another one. Sometimes Satan's way is more prosperous than God's way. That's a lie. He says, I'll give you the whole world. All you got to do is do what I want. And when then we start finagling, we start looking and start weighing things out. Well, maybe if I just do a little bit his way, then I can get this, and then I'll do what I'm supposed to do from there on. You're looking for trouble. The Lord's way is all. There's no better place than the middle of God's will. We'll play with God's will to get something. We'll play with God's will to get a better car, and you go to Walmart, and the first day you get a ding on it. It's funny how we do this. Now, hopefully that brought back two messages to you. And let me give you some things on how to combat the lies of Satan. Because Satan's going to lie to us. He's lied to every one of us sometime or another. And you're saying, okay, the will of God, and the outcome looks so-so. I mean, I got heaven. I'm glad I got heaven, but this other stuff, you know. Or I could maybe just kind of fudge the will of God a little bit, and I can have one of these, or I can have a little bit of this. And you know, if God really loved me, I mean, I know He died for me, but if He really loved me, wouldn't He let me have my desires? Well, if they're good desires, He will not withhold any good thing. But you don't give the car keys to a 5-year-old. That's a bad thing. Even though every five-year-old, especially every five-year-old boy, I don't mean sexist here, but almost every 5-year-old boy wants to get in behind the car. I'm driving, Daddy. Girls probably do too, but you know how boys are. It's not necessarily good. Let me give you number one. These are simple. Hang tight. Ready? How to combat him? Resist him. Now, the Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee. But watch me. There's a lot of people who misunderstand this. You're big enough, Steve. Come over here. Probably should have got Jerry up here, but you're big enough. I'm going to resist the devil. It's okay. I knew you were my son-in-law, but go ahead. Push it. Push it. Come on. Push it. Well, push it. Push it. All right. See, that's what we think resist the devil means. We're ready to fight him. But watch me. He was defeated on the cross.
The devil cannot do anything more to us than God allows. He did for Job, right? He says, okay, you go this far, you can't go this far. And he used Job to do some great things in a lot of our lives. And again, one of these days, we'll stand in glory, and God's going to bring Job up and raise the hands. All the people that were blessed by Job's faithfulness. And the rewards are going to be tremendous. But listen to me. Satan can't hurt me. Well, then why do you need to resist him? Because Satan will lie to me and tell me, God doesn't love you. You think you're God's child. Well, you realize you can't do anything. Well, actually, that's true. I can't do anything without him. I've got you. And he can set you up like a bunch of chess pieces. And you say, well, I'm stuck. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm one move from checkmate. What am I going to do? Well, there's nothing I can do, but God can do many things. But I tell you what Satan does. He yells. He walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. To resist has the idea to oppose. Let me read James 4 for you real quick. James 4, 4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth through envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now watch me. James 4, verse 8. How are we going to resist? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Wait a minute. If we waver in our faith, we're double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're already off, off balance, and all Satan has to do is, and away we go. But he says, listen, we've got to settle some things in our minds. First, we need to do says, draw nigh to God. How's that? Cleanse my hands. Stop doing what I've been doing that God knows I shouldn't be doing. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Get the word of God. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word of God. The word of God have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. I need to be in the word of God. Not just reading, that means taking it in. Digesting it. Deciding its truth. Then it says, be afflicted, mourn and weep. In other words, get upset over your own sin. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now he says, if I will resist the devil, he'll flee. Now, if you can turn to 1 Peter 5, let me show you this again. Familiar passage. That passage we just said to resist the devil. I ended that passage in verse 10 where it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Right in the first part of this says, he says, he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 6. 1 Peter 5, 6 starts with that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober in your right mind, clear mind. Be vigilant. Don't be lax about this. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplishing your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, I want you to go through the wilderness. Jesus was sent by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted, to come out the other side of the wilderness, saying, God is still true. Listen, he resisted the devil, and the devil left. Now watch me. How many times did Jesus poke the devil in the nose? None. What did he do? He went by the word of God. Now the devil walked, I know some, many of you have heard this, but for those who haven't, I want to put this in context because some of you are already thinking about it. We're supposed to walk the straight and narrow path. That means we don't get to the right, to the left, we just do what God wants us to do. And by the way, it's not a great big road all paved because there's very few that go that road. You don't need a massive highway because there's not that many go across it, but it's still the right road. But in comparatively, there's not that many people. We're supposed to be going down the road, doing what God wants us to do, and then old Satan comes along as a roaring lion seeking whom he can have for lunch. Well, I thought you said he doesn't attack. He doesn't. Watch this. If you were a lion and you wanted to catch your prey, would you roar? No. Why? You chase the prey away. So the lion is sitting over here. You're trying to go down your path, and he sees you coming. And he goes with his great big mane, sticks his chest out. Well, what do? We're going down, you know, Yellow Brick Road, and we hear him going, and all of a sudden we go, what are we going to do? We think we have to run away from the lion. The problem is the lion's on a chain. He can only go as far as he can go. Now, what am I supposed to be doing? Going right down this little path. Now, his chain may come right up to the path. My neighbors had a dog like that. His name was Brownie. And you get into the yard, and he just ran around. He had a path that went around, just the chain, a little circle around his dog box. And he would just, but, you know, the first time it happened, he had a long chain, too. First time I went over there, and they first moved in, here comes this dog, and I'm running. And he just ran for all he's worth. A terrible thing. I hate you shouldn't say it. But he ran along until it grabbed his neck, and he just, you know, there he was. I was always scared to death of dogs. I mean, scared to death of dogs. Then I found out he had a chain. I saw the path. I could walk within a foot of the path. He couldn't hit me. He couldn't get me because he's chained. Satan is chained. He cannot hurt you any more than God allow you to hurt him. But I tell you what he can do. He can chase you off into the briars. Because that old lion roars, we're over here. And the Bible says in Proverbs, we get off the path of snares and thorns and all those kind of things. So what we do, we instead of staying on, he can't get us. He's not on the path. I'm fine if I just stay where I'm supposed to be. But he roars. I jump over here. Before long, I find myself in the briars. Now, as a lion pride works, the big old boy was probably pretty tough when he was young, and he became the head of the pride. But now he's lost a few teeth, and the scariest thing about him is his roar. But he still gets the first bite of the meal because he's head of the pride. So he chases them over. Go back and see National Geographic. And the young lions over here are laying here in wait. They kill the prey. But then the lion sashays over and eats first. And when he's done, they get the leftovers. That's the way it works. Now, that way was not good. That way was really not good. But God's way is still good. Now look at our passage in 1 Peter. Our adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, say it with me, steadfast in the faith. To simply continue, stay steadfast. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. See, we think we're supposed to, when the lion roars, we think we're supposed to change. We think we're supposed to react. We don't need to react. We don't need to change. The same God that was with us before the roar is the same God that's with us now during the roar, and he's be the same God on the other side of the roar. Nothing has changed. He's still on the throne. He's still all powerful. He still can squash Satan like a bug, and he will one of these days. What are we worried about? How do you resist the devil when he lies? You go back to the Word of God. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Go back to John 3:16. Listen, there's been times, you may not like this, there's been times in my life, several times in my life, I'm serious, when old devil gets in your head and he starts shaking all those nuts around up there and he gets you all flustered and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is this really worth it? Is this really all real? Listen, he can shake us up. Don't raise your hand. But I'll guarantee there's an awful lot of folks in this room who sometime in their life has said to themselves, I hope this is right, because it sure doesn't seem right now. I'm in the wilderness, and I've been in the wilderness, and I don't see any end to the wilderness. And while I'm in the wilderness, then he sends a famine. We're supposed to be having kids. I'm thinking about Abraham. We're supposed to have had a kid and been the father of a many nation. Here I am, 90 years old, and there's no kid yet. Am I the biggest fool in all the world? I think I must be the crazy man. And there's been times when I've had to go all the way back to Psalm 19. It says this. The heavens declare his glory. I've had to go back to Romans 1, where it says we look into the skies and the heavens, and the invisible things of God are understood by the things that are seen. There's got to be a God. I'm serious. Old devil gets a hold of the beans up there, and he starts to shake them and move them around. And as times I've had to go back and say, wait a minute, there's a God. You can't tell me that God who made people, creative people, doesn't exist. You can't tell me it's oozed up out of the mud. There was something in the paper today about that in the View. They're talking about our good folks in our area who tried to fight for intelligent design in our school, and they're still making fun of them. We got a lot of mud around here. I don't see any people coming up out of that. And you never will. Because you take the dust of the earth and you need a God's hand to mold it into a human. It wasn't the mud, it was the hand of God using the mud and making the man. And there's a God, I'm accountable to him. And I've gone all the way back and worked my way back. Thought just my mind. Back through, and I know the day I received Christ as my Savior. For God so loved the world. If He's a God, He can certainly put His word in word in writing, can He? If He's a God, He certainly can preserve it. If you've ever studied that Bible like we should have studied that Bible, you're going to realize there's no way a man could have put that together. It would have been tough with a computer, much less over 1,600 years, 40 different authors. Thousands of years ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but everlasting life. I got to settle that. We resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. If this is what God said to do, then this is what I got to keep doing. Because you see, the devil can't stop me, but he can cause me to stop myself. Let me give you another one. We resist the devil by putting on the whole armor of God. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 10. Let's walk through this real quick. I'm not going to get done again, am I? Oh, my soul. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me do this one. And then I'll give you the last ones next week, I guess. No, I had something else I want to do next week. It's Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Well, in a couple weeks, you will have forgotten what I preached anyway. We can do it. We'll finish it up. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That's right. I'm going to punch old Satan boy in the nose. No, we don't have to. You don't have to. Look what it says. Verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God." How much of it? Yeah, there's a problem a lot of people miss. "Well, I've got this one down, so I should be good." No, put on the whole armor. Listen, you don't go in the battle where they're swinging swords with a hat. Put on the whole armor of God. Get rid of all the holes in your armor so they have less to hit at. "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He didn't say that you'll be able to punch him in the nose. Listen, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He says you need to be able to stand, to be firmly planted, to be what you need. Listen, when the roaring lion comes, he doesn't blow you into the briars. You stand. You stay up. You don't go down. You're not scared. He says that you're able to stand against the schemes, the conniving, the lies of Satan. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So who are you going to hit? There's nothing there to hit. You're wrestling against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have nothing to hit. It's elusive. What is it? It's the lies of Satan trying to convince you to give up, to let him have his way. Now watch me. Our determination is no match for the power of Satan. "Well, I'll just. But he just lies to you. And those lies go in. You think, well, maybe he's right. No, wait. What does the Word of God say? Is God true? Let God be true and every man a liar. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not true. If the word of God approaches this, addresses that, and what we've talked about goes against what the word of God says, that it's not true. "I esteem all thy word and all things to be true." Our cleverness, our mortal discernment is no match for the power of Satan. We're not going to be able to outthink him. Verse 13, "Wherefore?" Because we're not fighting against flesh or blood. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness. We're fighting against the lies of Satan. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." See, the armor of man is not going to be sufficient because the armor of man fights men. We're not fighting men. We're fighting a spiritual wickedness who gets into our thoughts and gets into our heart and just messes with us until we're unstable because we're not sure what to believe. We're jumping here, we're jumping there, we're kind of, we got to settle these things. He says, listen, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What's that? That means having put on the whole armor, having done all of this, not part of it, all of this. Well, you're making an awful lot out of this, preacher. I mean, really, is it that serious? Yep. Verse 14, here's how we stand. Stand therefore. How? Having your loins, that's a symbol, your thighs, the symbol of strength. You can bench press so much with your arms, but you can press so much, do a leg press, you can press a whole lot more if you're a weightlifter. I think I can do about 30 pounds with each. But anyway, that's up from 20. No, that's a sign of strength. Your strength is truth. What do you stand on? Truth. Satan is defeated. He can only talk me into defeating myself. That's truth. So when he comes at me roaring for all he's worth, I got to remember he's just a beagle on a chain. And the chain's only so long. Stand therefore, having your loins, verse 14, girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, there's a lot of things that can get me unawares. Coming from directions. See, a breastplate is not like a shield where you can direct. You see where it's coming. Breastplate's there because it's trying to catch everything that might get through the rest of my armor. The breastplate of righteousness, watch this. If I do not go out and take the first drink, I will never get drunk. If I never get drunk, I will never cause an accident from drunken driving. If I never get drunk, I'm not going to get a DUI. I'm not going to get thrown in jail. I'm not going to lose my job and then lose my wife and lose my kids. I will have spared myself that wound if I just live righteously. Listen, you can save yourself an awful lot of problems just doing right. You don't even have to understand exactly all that Satan's getting into. You just don't go there in the first place. See, I don't have to hang around. I don't need to go hanging around bars. You say, well, I can go to a bar and not drink. Maybe you can. I can go to war and not get a dent in my armor. But maybe not. I may be able to do this and not have a problem with. I can be with this woman by myself without my wife, and I'm just fine. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. But I tell you how we can make sure. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Do right and you won't get there. You won't be there, so it can't happen. The devil can't get there, and he lied to you. Breastplate of righteousness. And on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's another thing. Well, if I was just happy, I think I'd be okay with Christ. When I was a kid, I was a tenderfoot. I had neighbors. I had kids who lived in our neighborhood and never wore shoes all summer. I mean, they just didn't wear shoes all summer. And man, they run around. We had a gravel road, and they just walk around a gravel road like this and this and this, you know, just because their feet was all calloused, didn't feel anything. Not me. You know, I'm going across the road and on the stones in my bare feet, you know, and then I'm on the grass. I'm okay. I'm good, you know. And I was a tenderfoot. Where you walk, as you walk through life, you come across some pretty rough places. And you think, I don't know if God's with me. And we get down. I'll tell you what you need to do. Put on the bottom of your feet the peace of God. All things still work together for good. Those who love God. I'm on this road. I'm not going to walk on this road. God told me to walk this road. I can't do this anymore. It's okay because I know what's coming down the road. The peace of God. You don't need peace if everything's fine. The peace of God. I know I'm getting late here. Put on the shoes of peace. Verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith
wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I don't understand what's happening, but God knows. God, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Our adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the shield of faith. He says, God doesn't love you. God loves me so much, he sent his only begotten son to die for me. I guess over the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I got it in black and white right here. God's going to let you starve to death. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. God knows you need these things. Shield of faith. It's all right. He's casting his darts. He thinks he's getting in. And you say, well, that's not true. It's a lie. And when you know it's a lie, it's now benign. It's ineffective. I don't understand it, but God says it's true. And then it says, take the helmet of salvation. Well, what's that mean? If all else seems to fail me, and I'm struggling with things, I'm starting to waver, then remember this. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And listen, the tribulations and the problems of this world do not compare to the glory that is to come. I'm not any worse than what Jesus had to do. And the fact is, he says, we are his children, we're adopted, and we shall reign with him if we suffer with him. So actually, the fact is, I don't really like suffering. But if he puts me through and it's his will, I actually come out better on the other side. I come out better on the other side. I can face it. So old Satan comes along and he lies to us. For I reckon, Paul says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Even if I lose everything, I still have eternal life. Then he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, slices up everything. All those lies. It just slices it to pieces. Takes all his lies and tears them to pieces. They have no substance to them. Verse 18, don't forget. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto, for all perseverance and supplication for the saints. What's he saying? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need to just trust him. I'm going to give you a couple more in a couple weeks. But that's really the primary thing right there. We resist the devil and he'll flee. And how do you resist? Steadfast in the faith. Well, now, wait a minute. Faith is not something you work up across your eyes, across your legs, across your toes, and hope you hope. That's not faith. Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. God said it, so I'm going to live by it. That's faith. Well, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, I wish I had it, but I'm just not getting there. Well, come back tonight and get some more. Come back Wednesday night and get some more. Come in on 9:30 on Sunday mornings and get some more in Sunday school. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Are you serious? You want faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing word of God. We don't stand here and do a lot of hoopla. I like the music and that's all part is praise the Lord. But listen, this is why I spend 45 minutes in here tonight. This feels like the night now. This morning in the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What we're doing is adding some meat to your armor. So when Satan lies, you can say, get back where you came from. I don't have time for you. I'm busy staying steadfast in the faith. You don't have to fight Satan. God fights Satan. You just resist him by being steadfast in the faith. We'll give you some more next time. Father, we thank you again for your word, for the truths. Thank you for the faith that we can have it, and thank you for the power that's in your word. Lord, speak to our hearts here. Heads are back.